Okay. Oh man, how about we just start over that? I have no idea. I left the iPad and I left the BlackBerry playbook at the house, so I'm using my laptop, which I rarely do to do anything. I have no idea how to work iTunes well. So you unfortunately got John Morgan's interview on there, and I'm like turning off the volume, and I can't even turn off the volume to the thing. So anyway, we're going to turn that off. Well, we're back. We've had a couple of week hiatus there. We're just trying to get some things going, and excuse the first few minutes of the show there, but we are going live here, trying to see if our system's running. Next week is the big week. They've pushed this back several times, and I'm just getting, you know, you can get frustrated. Come on, all of us are normal. We have our boiling points. We have our times where we're just like, come on, let's just get this done. Well, the ITs were so excited to take my money to get these things built for the station. The way it made it sound was, hey, just pay the bill and we'll go ahead and start installing this into your system. No, it was a new system to them, so they had to go do all their tests on their new systems. And it just worked out to be a big headache right now. I'm excited that we're doing these upgrades. I'm excited that everything else is moving forward. But as you can tell at the beginning of this broadcast here, it was kind of crazy. Just got me rattled running around doing things, trying to get things moving. I was trying to time it perfectly because we have Shoutcast servers. And on the Shoutcast servers, we have these other broadcasts that we're running. We're running the talk radio. We're running the Christian music. We're running, the sermon channel and counseling channel. Then they're all costing us monthly to be on these servers. So I was trying to time the billing and the launch of this new station stuff that we're running, the new servers and everything, trying to time it together. But it didn't pan out that way. In fact, I've had to put a little more cost into it to keep things running for the in-between. And it's part of business, so you just go with it. But the good news I found out the other day was that we're not going to lose our Shoutcast message. We're going to still be on there. Praise God. I mean, first I was thinking, well, let's just move the station. It's a great platform. But I just don't want to be on my platform. With Shoutcast servers, I'm able to get the message out to hundreds and hundreds of people that normally won't go to Rev Media Network or Rev Media TV, but they will listen on their device and they search Shoutcast to find music and stuff. There's people that continue to listen. Someone in, Lynn, Michigan, I think that's where it's at, and they're always listening to our broadcast and they're always listening to our music channel. So I don't want to lose those people. We're putting into their lives. We're doing things that I really believe is a blessing. And we never know what the true blessing of what we're doing is until we get to heaven. So people tune in. I want to keep paying to get that message out there. Amen. That is what our job is. That is what we do. And, well, it was supposed to be the 20th, or actually the 1st of April, the 11th of April, the 22nd of April, which is today. And now we're pushed to the 29th. But good news is it is definitely a hard release. In other words, it's going to not a soft release. We're actually being released to the market on the 29th to everyone that can hear us and see us. And tomorrow, which is Wednesday, I do a little bit of training. And hopefully through that training, I get some other stuff going. And I really believe God's going to bless it to help me understand it. We're turning on the Roku. Hey, come on. This has been a battle, my friends. This month of April has been a battle for me. Not only... just in faith in what I'm preaching and praying for the sick. Anytime you work in that kind of atmosphere, you're going to be attacked. But no, this month was different. I've held healing services all the time, and last week was a tough week, mentally, spiritually, physically, just tired and attacked. But you know, God is able to make you rise above a new banner. Of just a new banner of hope, of faith. God puts that in you. And you just have to trust Him. There's so many things that come against you daily, and it did. Last week I was at a low, but I needed to really be at a high. Why should I be at a high in faith? Because our healing ministry is just really taken off. We just finished preaching and praying for over 2,000 people. Praying for 2,000 people, 2.5 hours, praying for them. And then we're going to be out this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to hold healing services. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll be holding healing services and praying 3-night services. This is what God has called me to do. But God has called me also to do the radio and the books and everything else like that. So as I'm putting all this stuff together, as I'm making my way through it, as I'm trusting that He is giving me the insight to get these things done, I just believe. And you shouldn't be depressed even when times get difficult. Because I tell you what, you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. I was with a good friend just this last week, and we had lunch at Papacito's, and we're kicking back talking, and I didn't know how to ask him, didn't know how to tell him. Does he ever get depressed? At his time when his ministry was the strongest, because he's older now, and of course those days have passed, but his still ministry is still strong, but it's like he was really out there more years back. And he said, David, of course I do. He was so excited. I was really touched by him, because he was really excited to tell me that he did get depressed. He did get sad. He did feel the attack. He said, David, the enemy comes in like a flood. Like a flood. It's not one thing. It's not two things. It's 3, 4, 5 things coming at you. But God delivers you up above all of them. And he reminded me of the story of King David when in Ziklag, when they stole all the things that were around. That when they went into battle, they came back and everything was gone. And the people even went to kill David. But then David had to what? Encourage himself. He got depressed. He got sad. He got upset. But what did he do? He said he had to encourage himself in the Lord. He had to make himself available in faith to God. You see, every single time that we face something, something is going to happen for you. Something big is going to happen. This launch of the Roku is going to put us on the same platform as TBN, Daystar, CBN, all the main networks. We're going to be right beside them on this channel, on the spiritual network on Roku. So God is doing something so big, we don't even know it. So I truly believe the reason that I was hurting, the reason that I was fighting with my own flesh, praise God, that just wants to fight and wants to get you depressed, was just because of these new updates that we're doing. It was just because of how we were truly coming into the Lord and the things that God has called us to do. It was truly why this attack was coming. So it took a few days, but like I tell my wife all the time, it may take a few days, but eventually I get up, I wash my face. I'm like, let's go. And I'm not saying I was laying in bed depressed, hanging off the bed. No, but I'm just saying discouragement, things like that. You just have to be excited. And I even asked myself during all this thing, I'm like, look at this. We're about to be published. My new book's almost done. And it was actually, you know what happened? It was after I wrote one of the last chapters in the book called Faith Defeats Fear. Faith overtakes fear. But I think I'm going to change it to Faith Defeats Fear. This is what I'm going to change it to. Because once I wrote that chapter, this amazing fear came over me. And it was consuming what I was doing. It was consuming how I would think on to do things. And I tell you, my friends, I was completely lost on some things. And I'm like, why am I feeling like this? Do you ever get like that? Do you ever get to the point where you're just wondering, why am I feeling like this? I should be excited. And you remind yourself, and this is what my friend told me, and this is what I was already doing, but he reminded me of this and what to do. And he said, David, you have to remind yourself of the victories. Come on. You have to remind yourself of the great things that you know, that you know, that you know, that only God has done for you. Only God can do it. So I start thinking of things and looking at all the amazing miracles, the mission trips, the publishing, the broadcasting, and even before then, the answers to prayers that there was nothing else but God could do it. And I take those things and I trust that that's what God wants me to do, wants me to have. And when I do that, I just believe. I believe that He could do it, that He could make things happen for me. I tell you, my friends, it's not easy. Come on. It's not easy being a person of faith all the time. It's not easy. Oh, that's me saying, come on. I don't have a choir group here. I'm going to start singing to you. No, but it's easy. It's so easy to let yourself get depressed, even when you're in faith, because you see man's ways of doing things. You see man's ways of accomplishing things. And yes, there are some good ways to get things done. But when you have to wait on faith, it is not a man's way. So your body, your mind, your spiritual ability has to kick in and take over what's man's ways and what becomes God's ways. Because man's ways will never understand or do or even impose the things of God. But God's ways will always overtake and build and be able to lift you up when you concentrate on His way. So there's just so many different things that God is able to do and that God is able to make happen that we just have to just agree that He is God and that He is able to do it, and we can't limit Him. We cannot limit Him to how He's going to be a blessing, how He's going to change our lives, how things are going to be ran through how He makes things happen. The other day we were here at the station and there was so much calamity going on with our broadcast, and we could not even get on the air. We could not even get on the air because we had so much stuff happening with our computers. I didn't understand it because most of the time on our things, most of the time I just kind of just go with the computer here. If it turns on, it turns on, and we have a broadcast. If it don't turn on, well, we have problems. And I guess it was one of those days that we had problems. We could not run the show like normal. I had my friend that's publicist, Kathy. She's a publicist for Whitaker, and she does a lot of other things, but that's one of the things she does. And she was emailing me, and I said, I can't hear you, Rev. And I'm like, what? I looked at my emails during the show, and I'm like, how can they not hear us? And we had a great show with Pat Simmons, and everything didn't work. And, you know, hey, hello. When you have to do things, sometimes when it just pops up and you don't know what's going on, I turned off the computer, which is the power source to our backup recorder. And I thought I was getting the show the whole time, and I wasn't getting anything. And we were fortunate, we're very blessed that we're able to record something out of that and just make it work. It sometimes just gets very, very discouraging when you see things happen like that. But what you got to remember, my friend, is that God is so good that he will bless you when you're just faithful. And you just open your heart and just trust Him and just make things happen. Allow God to be that blessing in your life. And when that occurs, I tell you, my friends, it's going to be a bigger blessing than you can even imagine. It's going to bless the things around you. It's going to encourage people. But the main thing, my friends, is going to make you believe that there's more that God has for you, which He does. He has so much more that He wants to bless you with, but you just have to believe. This next week is going to be a very strong week for us. We're launching the new channels. I'm going out of town to preach. My book's already due. My publisher's already called me and actually have emails waiting to be answered. So after this show, I'll be extremely busy on emails getting things done from the publisher. I got to look through my book one more time and just touch up some things. And then And then I have to just trust him that he's going to trust the Lord, that he's going to give me strength, because next week we're changing all four channels over. So I'll be here at the station uploading. So we have no shows next week. You're going to hear some of the rebroadcast of everything. We'll still be on the talk radio, will still be running, but the music channel, the sermon channel, and the counsel channel are going to go off air on the 28th, I think. So we're going to be a day off from what we're trying to do, but you know, you just trust God, believe God, know that He's going to make things happen. And when that happens, you just have to keep trusting Him. Trusting that He's going to make things grow in faith in your life, in your ministry. And you just go forward. So the new platform's going to be awesome. You don't have to come to Rev Media Network anymore to listen to the radio. You'll be able to go to Rev Media TV and be able to hear the broadcasts. And to me, it's a smarter thing. It has our radio and our television on the same network. No more do you have to go to one spot and go to another spot. This is going to create a wealth of faith for my friends. They're going to have so many things they're going to be able to broadcast. It's going to create a better platform for the Christian radio broadcaster. In fact, we're moving 4 or 5 of our shows over to this new platform, and it's going to change things, how things are done. And not only are we going to be able to offer television to those that stream, but we're going to be able to offer radio to those that stream. So it's a big thing we're working on. I'm trusting God. I'm encouraging myself. I tell everybody the reason, if you ever come to my studio and you come in, you're going to see banners hanging around on the wall from different times that I've gone into mission trips. Most of them are from India. There's probably one in here from Africa, and then I have a couple more in the other studio that has some more from Africa. And they ask me, why do you have those? Oh, are those your trophies? No, they're not my trophies. Easily can be mistaken as trophies, but they are my encouragement. When I look at them, I remember the miracles. I remember the healings. I remember the messages that I preached to people that were waiting for me in these other places. And I remember being one of the first ministers to preach in some of these areas. So when I look at them, they encourage me that God has used His greatness and done great things, and I've been just faithful to honor what He had me go to do. So I want to encourage you. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Or again, our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And you can give us a call at 888-642-4767 for our bookstore or for the prayer line. Just 888-642-4767. Email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. We're going to see if I can get some music going on this thing. And if I can, then you're going to get some music, because I have no way of getting the commercials running. We'll see how this goes. Hopefully it works.
We are the city, sitting on the hill. We are a light in the darkest land. Oh, oh, whoa, whoa. So many people, so little time. Come on, children, your light so shine. So come on, shine, shine, shine your light. Shine, shine your light. Shine, shine your light.
Shine, let it shine.
from the lighthouse. Shine down on us. Let the light from the lighthouse shine down on us.
Amen. And we are back on the air finally. And you probably hear the music in the background as we're trying to figure out what is wrong with our sound system today. And I think it's me. It's not even the sound system. We have our guest here interview here. We're talking about her new book, Dynamo. Before we get into that, let's talk to Miss Eleanor Gustafsson. Did I say that correctly?
Gus. Gustafsson. Whatever, I'll answer.
Okay. Well, pronounce it correctly for all of us so we can make sure we get it.
Gustafsson.
Gustafsson. All right, got it. You know, I hammer names all the time, so don't feel bad. It's a good opening second for us. It gets us all giggling. But no, Eleanor, we're going to call you Ellie if that's fine. And
sure.
We're just excited to have you. You wrote the book of Stones, correct? The life.
That's right.
The life.
Yes.
I love that book.
Did you?
Yeah. That's Who was I with? I was with I know you know them, Cruiser and Shirley
yes.
Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I was visiting mm-hmm. them in Alabama, setting up their radio station and getting everything ready for them, helping them train them a little bit more, get them some more equipment. And uh-huh. and they have this shelves full of Whitaker books. And Shirley kept telling me at lunch and then even at dinner, I need to look at that book. And I finally got
it. She loves that book.
Oh, yes, she loves it. And I know why, because it's a great, great book. I really believe it. It elaborates on parts where you think, well, that's something to think about. You know, I enjoyed it. And I just wanted to let you know that really was a blessing to me. So,
good. I'm so glad that you were able to read it.
And well, now, how long have you been writing books? Because that one was in, what, 09, The Stones?
Yes, that was 09. My first novel came out in, I think, 1984.
Oh, wow.
The Stones was my fourth one. Dynamo is my fifth one.
Oh, wow. Now, so
it takes me a while. The Stones actually took 15 years to research and write and find a publisher.
Oh, I bet. And I bet you had to whittle it down, too. You've with that many years of researching and everything, you have probably a lot of information there.
Oh, yeah. I had to really work hard and knock out several really good chapters to get it down to 600 pages.
Wow.
800.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you I read it quick because I didn't, but I did read it. It just took me a while because that's a very thick book. And for those that don't know about it, you need to go and visit Amazon and Barnes & Noble, anywhere you can pick up the book, The Stones, and it's going to bless you. It's going to bless you. So were you always pulled to writing, and is this something that you knew you were destined to do, or how'd you get into writing?
Well, my mother read to me as I was when I was a child, and I just began to glom onto stories, and I began thinking them up myself when I was around 5 or 6. And when I started to read, God grabbed me with a story. There was an invitation at the end of it. So, even after after reading my early attempts to write, friends and even my mother said straight out, stick to music as a career. But I pushed along and began publishing both fiction and nonfiction in 1978.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's some longevity in there. And were you always doing Christian pieces, or were they mixed?
Well, yes, because The gospel is so much a part of me, it's my passion, that I have to write from that point of view. Although I have written a few things for secular publications, but it's there.
Do you always feel that you're playing the role of the evangelist or the minister, and you're through your books you're reaching people?
Well, I hope so. That's my goal. I write what I feel God wants me to write, and whatever he wants to do with it, that's fine.
Hmm. Tell us about Dynamo. I mean, this is on the cover, beautiful horse. Just tell us a little bit about your book.
Okay. Dynamo galloped into the reading world this month, and early readers have just told me that they weren't able to put it down, it just grabbed them. People ask me what the story is about, and that's a tough question to answer. The book is complex. One layer is horses and the high-stakes world of horse shows and stable intrigue. Another level is the good, bad, and ugly of human relationships. But the bedrock layer is the sovereign God who interacts with Jeff in unusual and unpredictable ways. Dynamo's a horse. He's a five-gated stallion with a nasty disposition. Now, most horses have three gates, walk, trot, canter, or gallop. Mm-hmm. But five gaiters have two extra gears, slow gait, which is a fast walk and a very smooth, comfortable ride. And then there's Rack, which is a fast, slow gait, if you will. But it's flashy and spectacular, and it just shows the animal its best. And Dynamo's trainer, Jeff, has his work cut out for him before this gorgeous creature can possibly be shown. But he has to do that work in his spare time because his real job is training show jumpers for competition in horse events. So that's the setting of the novel, the good and the bad of the horse world. Jeff's boss is a Christian. Jeff is not. But when his girlfriend, Jenny, slaps him really hard after he refuses to go to bed with her, the door of the kingdom suddenly opens to Jeff. And from then on, God begins to work in unusual ways. Mm. For instance, the next day, he wins a class when he deserved to come in last, and he does amazing things and ends up in the hospital. But Jeff finds God to be totally unorthodox, unsettling, and unpredictable.
Mm.
And he has a church friend, Maybelle, who serves as his interpreter in his foreign country.
Really? Wow. So Maybelle, tell us about Maybelle.
Well, let me tell you about the three main characters of the novel, and she's one of them. The three main characters are God, the subject, Maybelle, the verb, and Jeff, the object. The story is not so much about horses as it is God acting sovereignly. Jeff takes him seriously, and in return, God puts him through spiritual boot camp to turn out a trained, disciplined, and effective servant. I've tried in the book to counter the common perception of a God who exists only to serve each person's needs, rather than the all-powerful God who is greater than our mind and heart and perfectly free to reveal himself where and when he wants. That's a quote from Henry Nouwen. And that's the part of my novel that's unique. All through Scripture, we see a God who is silent for centuries, but then he acts in totally unexpected ways, knocks people and prophets off their feet, literally. And we don't talk about this aspect of God very often. It's safer to keep God in a controllable box.
Mm.
But Jeff is a cool guy. He's a man's man. He's real and rough and gritty edges, both before and after his conversion. And he knows horses, but his passion is the stallion Dynamo. But the Lord's unusual activities in his life scare him to death. "Why does God do this to me?" he asks. "I get the feeling I'm being set up for something." And he is indeed. His life is anything but predictable, much like the God he serves. And then there's Maybelle. She's an old lady in the church, and she's a piece of work. She loves Jeff and walks him through the spiritual minefield of God's unusual activity in his life. Even before Jeff becomes a Christian, she somehow knows that God has chosen him for a special purpose. Drawing on Old Testament prophets, she feeds him passages that strike terror in his heart, but that bolster him in critical moments. She's a mentor, yes, a spiritual goad, yes, but a tower of strength when Jeff desperately needs one. And he does, on two devastating occasions of life and death. Hmm. So those are your three main characters.
Wow.
That... Do you want they're important characters.
Sure, yeah, tell us about some more characters.
Okay, Rob is Jeff's Christian boss, who is totally perplexed by Jeff's strange relationship with God. He doesn't understand it, but accepts it watchfully. And Rob's wife, Katie, is a bouncy and personable, but she's a flirt, and that brings on a lot of problems. Janny is Jeff's girlfriend, the one who whacked him into the kingdom. She appears and disappears and lives to regret her ill-advised swat. Janny is a Wingate, and her father is the wealthy owner of a stable of jumpers that serve as Rob and Jeff's chief competitors. He's an evil man who has done Jeff great harm. And there are other characters, but I can't tell too much about them without being a spoiler. So
No. That's fine. Now, did it take you a while to develop all these characters?
I've been making up stories all my life, and this story started out as one of those. And I threw my brain file and held it up and saw that it had promise, and I went with it. With my love for horses, it provided material to work with that was capable of carrying my passion for God. That was the important thing.
Hmm. Now, why did you write this story?
Well, my love for horses just was right there. Right from the very start, as in writing this, I had my dedication page all planned out.
Okay.
And I'd just like to read it quickly.
Sure, go ahead.
In memory of Liddy, my horse mentor and instructor in important things such as the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, and time spent with kids instead of housework. Lydia Vandenhoevel was an extraordinary influence in my life. Outwardly, she was probably one of the ugliest women I've ever known, but inwardly she was beautiful, not only caring for us kids and molding us as horse riders, but in teaching us about birds and flowers and her favorite scripture passages. She gave us the gift of her time and attention, and I loved her dearly.
Hmm. That's powerful. Now, did you ride horses?
These people got a pony for their granddaughter, I was there every day all summer long. She just worked with us and taught us to ride. Once we learned to ride that pony, we could control almost any horse. he was a piece of work, too.
Oh,
it was an exciting time.
Now, what audience are you trying to reach, or what's the audience you projected in your mind that you were writing for?
Well, the big book is geared for adults, I would say mid-teens on up. There are some younger people that their parents are letting them read it. So not true about that. I warned them. I told them, you better read this first. It's not that it's bad, but it's just very intense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it needs PG anyway. Christians will get the most out of it, but the gospel is lined out clearly and the drama moves fast enough, I think, that will hold the interest of non-believers. Mm. His story speaks well to men with his action and strong male characters, but it also appeals to women with its romantic thread and, of course, Maybelle.
Mm.
There are also elements of mystery and suspense for those sorts of readers. And as literary fiction, the book doesn't fit any stereotypical mold, but everyone tells me it's a page-turner. And I've had two men that stayed up well after midnight. And to get a man to engrossed in a book like that is pretty good.
That's true.
This book would be especially good as a discussion starter in a book club. The big question, I think, might be, can or would God do unusual things in a person's life today? And this is a major question that needs to be talked about. And I've gotten some pushback on that. One person mentioned the Latin phrase, Deus ex machina. That means the God who swoops down magically and pulls strings. And this is considered a poor plotting device that makes the story unbelievable. But I don't think I've done that. I've tried to portray God as totally sovereign and able to do whatever he wants in a person's life. In Scripture, God does really bizarre things like making donkeys talk, turning a rod into a snake, and I haven't portrayed that kind of activity. This is more a palpable and consistent process of molding a servant to enable him to do extraordinary things.
That's amazing. What is the main spiritual thrust of the book?
The
spiritual thrust.
The spiritual thrust, yes. Most Christian fiction that I've read does a creditable job of lining out the gospel and the basics of Christian living. But Dynamo goes beyond this quite significantly. The book isn't a rant, but it comes from a unique perspective and carries a sharp, clear message through a dynamic storyline, strong characters, and dialogue. I basically laid out the classic understanding of servanthood, laying yourself down in obedience to God and the sometimes costly care of others. While the horse part is simply the setting, it does serve as an effective vehicle that powerfully communicates who God really is and what he asks of his servants. I would say my scriptural inspiration is the God of Ezekiel and Daniel, those powerful prophets who had unique experiences with heavenly beings. And I drew on the all-powerful God who pulls and shapes and lifts Jeff into the unfathomably rich fellowship of suffering servanthood. If I could, I'd like to read a passage from the book that sort of demonstrates this.
Absolutely, Ellie, do it.
Okay, in this scene, Wingate has just offered Jeff a high-paying job training jumpers. Now, this is the man who had done Jeff great harm, so it was a big surprise. Jeff's current boss, when he told him, Rob, is terrified. Why would he not accept such an offer? Let me count the reasons, says Jeff. Wingate's got money. He'd like to own me. Have me under his thumb once and for all. I lived there, remember? I know him and what it's like to work there. Toxic climate. I'd never know where I stood with Wingate or anyone else. He'd expect me to be a Freddy clone. Cheat, maneuver, winning is everything no matter what it takes. No Sundays off, none. The cocktail circuit. You think I want that? Rob shook his head in disbelief. But do you want me to leave and go with Wingate? Did you hear what I said? Of course I don't, and yes, I heard, but... Jeff looked up sharply. Read my lips. Wingate could offer me the moon, and I wouldn't work there. You said I did a good job tonight. He'd never say that, no matter how many rabbits I pulled out of his hat. I'd never trade my life here, no matter how many houses, cars, or women he threw in. Rob straightened, his entire frame relaxing. Okay, then, what's the problem? I see a pattern here. The greater the victory, the deeper the gully afterward. You caught on to Hawkins, fell off the planet. Tonight, the class of your life. Who could have done what you did? Now look at you. Jeff lifted his head, the old frightened look in his eyes. Rob, why does God do this to me? It's not right. I get the feeling he's setting me up for something. Rob looked away and sighed. Oh, I don't know. Since you came on the scene, I've felt I don't know much at all about God. It's not that you never make mistakes or act brain-dead stupid. I've seen enough of that. But at certain times... Jeff was silent. Then he said softly, almost to himself, I feel like Moses by the burning bush, that I should take my shoes off on holy ground. Rob looked at him curiously and watched him bow low and fall prostrate, with his arms stretched forward as though reaching for something. Rob rubbed the prickling hair on his neck, not knowing what else to do, and then he felt it, a warming, palpable presence as from fire. And in the shadows, a horse nickered a welcome. I like this scene because the very presence of God comes close enough for even a horse to feel. I want to know this God who is far greater than even Jeff experienced.
That is amazing. Tell everybody how they can get your book, darlings.
Well, I'm willing to send anybody a signed book if they want.
Go ahead. Give them any information how they can contact you, website or whatever.
My website is www.ElanorGustafson, ElanorGustafson.com. You can go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, CBD Christian Book Distributors, any one of those venues, and you'll find it there, and it's not terribly expensive, and it's a good book.
Amen. Just, we got about 2 minutes left, and I want to take some of your vast knowledge of writing. If you could just give a two-minute encouragement to those that want to write books, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, some things that might help them.
Well, having started out not knowing a thing about writing, I was a music major in college, and I had very little English background, so I had to teach. I was self-taught all the way through. But I had the privilege of being able to read good literature. And that's the basic thing that I would suggest that people do, that they read good books, well-written books, and pay attention to how they're written, how the plot flow goes, and how tight they are, and to just drink in good literature, but of course, drink in God. That's the basic. If you want to write a good, solid Christian literature, it can't be preachy. It can't be just pasted together nice spiritual things. But it has to have the depth that's in your life, the writer's life, to be able to convey this convincingly. And just keep at it. It just takes so long. I have had a very slow process of getting published. Some people can sit down and write dash off a book in just a few months, but I can't do that.
That's some good advice. That's some very good, honest advice for everyone. Well, Ellie, we appreciate you being on the show, and we appreciate you taking the time to be a part of what we're doing here. And we hope to continue to promote you and Whitaker House on future things as well.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the invitation to be with you.
Amen.
Enjoyed it.
Amen. Well, I'll call you back in a few minutes to talk about the TV interview.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Amen. And that's Miss Eleanor Gustafson. I believe I'm saying it right now. So hopefully that'll work. And go and get the book. It's called Dynamo, and you can pick it up anywhere books are sold. It just galloped into the retailers this month. So you'll be able to pick this up again. It's called Dynamo from Eleanor Gustafson, and you'll be able to get this. It's in the fiction section. But I'm pretty sure it's going to bless you. Just reading some of the reviews, if I can just share a couple of them with you. I have this one. It says, I got the book mid-afternoon on March 19th. I tried several times to put the book down and go to bed, but would lay their processing story storyline up to that point. Finally, about midnight, I got up knowing that there would be no sleep until I finished at 3 a.m. It has been many years since I've been so gripped by a story and so anxious to see how the author would develop it from there. There's many more, so you can go to Amazon. These are all Amazon reviews. There's other ones as well, but I'm telling you, that's great that a book can impact someone in that fashion. And we just trust God that He's going to continue to build things and continue to take care of the people that do the work of the Lord. We'll catch you next time, my friends. And on Midwatch. Remember, next week, you'll hear the signals. Some of them you hear it, some of them you won't. So just be tuning in. We'll be back up and running on the Music Channel, Sermon Channel soon. Right after the 29th.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.